A little later start than normal, which is no problem at all. Probably be a little bit shorter than normal here tonight. Proverbs chapter 9. Proverbs chapter 9. And we'll be going on to Jeremiah next week, all right? I had several votes for Jeremiah, so we've never gone there before. So I don't know what I'm talking about, but let's go. Yeah. All right. Proverbs chapter 9, Proverbs 9, and let's go down to verse 4 or so. We've covered part of this. I just wanted to establish a context here. And it's talking about wisdom. In particular, wisdom is speaking. And she says in verse 4, "Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, Come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine which I have mingled." We've talked about a lot of that. But verse 6, "Forsake the foolish and live." That's where we stopped talking last time and went through a lot of those verses on just the fact that, folks, you know, one of the things in the Scriptures, Scriptures tell you what kind of friends you need to have. And there's just an awful lot of times that there are folks that are damaging to ourselves, to our families, and so on, and whom we actually do not help by retaining as friends. They sometimes need a harder lesson than that, and that's one of the things the Bible teaches. Well, verse 6, "Forsake," the Bible says, "forsake the foolish and live." Folks, a fool will get you killed. If a fool doesn't get you killed physically, which is all too often the case, when I was in college, I ran around with a bunch of fools, and they almost got me killed. But, folks, a fool will get you killed spiritually. Okay? I mean, if the blind lead the blind, they both shall fall into the ditch. And I need to find somebody that's teaching and preaching the Bible, not just teaching and preaching tradition and the church and all this kind of stuff. Well, verse 6, "Forsake the foolish and live." And then it says, "And go in the way of understanding." Now, let me talk to you just for a second or two about the way of understanding. Now, look, this is in the context of what? This is in the context of a woman. Wisdom is likened to a woman from verses 1 down through verse 12. And then it takes up another woman in verse 13, whom we'll talk about here in just a little while. And it says back here in verse 6, "And go in the way of understanding." Now, you know what? Look at chapter 6, just a page or so back. Look at verse 32. 6, 32. In that context of those two women, verse 32, "But whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding." So when it says go in a way of understanding, it's not going to say and go take a college course. It's saying you better watch out what you're doing, who you're hanging around with, right? Verse 6, "Forsake the foolish and live, and go in the way of understanding." All right, verse 7. And this picks up kind of a new strain. You notice in verse 7, there's a scorner spoken of and a wicked man spoken of. In verse 8, a scorner spoken of again and a wise man spoken of. You'll find in the book of Proverbs that there are a few fellows that continually are brought up, so much so that it's almost like it's constantly comparing these people. One is a simple man, and one is a wise man. And one is a scorner, and one is a fool. And those are, you know, I'm not saying that they're all, you know, hard and clearly divided lines, but sometimes it seems that they are. And you're introduced here to this scorner in verse 7. "He that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame, and he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot." Now, we'll talk about the scorner in just a second, but notice Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14, and go down to verse 6. And you learn a little something about people. You ever met somebody who just didn't seem to get it? Do you ever meet somebody who uses an excuse that they couldn't understand it? There's a reason for that. And I don't just mean that they are deprived of light and that they can't get it merely because they're dead in trespasses and sins and they're natural men, okay? It goes a little beyond that. In Proverbs chapter 14, verse 6, having read Proverbs 10, verse 7, he that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame, meaning that the scorner has no intention of turning, and that's exactly the problem, because in 14:6, a scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not. Okay? You know what, folks? There's a lot of people in college that are scorners. They've already made up their mind they're not going to believe in God. They're not going to believe creation. They're not going to believe in Jesus Christ. So they'll believe any other kind of wisdom that comes their way, be it true or be it semi-true or be it false. But as far as being interested in God, they are a scorner. And so it says there, a scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not. But notice, knowledge is easy to him that understandeth. Now, you know what you have to watch out for, folks? You have to watch out for being a scorner. And, blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. And the reason why you don't want to be a scorner, and one of the marks of a scorner, is he's made up his mind already what he's going to believe. And when he hears, you know, something along the lines of what he's already made up his mind he's not going to believe, his response is to scorn it and mock it. Okay? Now, there's a reason why you can't teach a scorner something. And it's because of what he is. And it's because of what he wants to be. Now, there's something related to this. Go down to Proverbs chapter 28, verse 5. This relates to somebody who's not a scorner, but a wicked man, an evil man. Proverbs 28, verse 5. And folks, we pray for folks, and we long for them to get right. Well, I'm willing to reason with a guy, out maybe even beyond what I should at times. I mean, if you've reproved a heretic twice, you know, then you can, whatever. I'm willing to go more than twice, okay? But there comes a point where a guy not only has to have light from the Holy Spirit. There comes a time that he not only needs to be born again and not be a natural man anymore. There comes a time a guy has to want the truth, no matter what it costs him. And until somebody gets to that point, it's real hard dealing with them, you know that? Proverbs 28, verse 5, and this is just akin to this. 28:5, evil men understand not judgment. You say, then it's not fair. Well, yeah, it is, because verse 5, but they that seek the Lord understand all things. See, that's the problem. The thorn under their skin is seeking the Lord. The thorn under their skin is the Lord. The thorn under their skin is things like hell, sin, judgment, which when you bring up, people go, no, 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 no. Well, you're a scorner, you're an evil man. And you don't understand because you don't want to understand. Oh, I just don't understand why the Lord allows little kids to get killed in tsunamis. You don't want to understand. You don't want to understand. And if somebody undertakes to explain it to you, you won't accept it anyway. Why do good things happen, bad things happen to good people? You don't want the answer to that. People have given you the answer to that, and you're not interested in hearing the answer to that. So that's the problem. Okay, back to Proverbs chapter 9. Proverbs chapter 9. Verse 7. Now, we're talking about this scorner. And I went to camp here a few years back, and Brother Weiss from over in Madison, a really good man, had laid out a profile of a four-person. I came back here and taught it. I'm reminding you, but I wanted you to know who I got it from, a lot of it. He had laid out four personages in Proverbs. And basically, there's four guys in Proverbs that are laid out in contrast one to another. A simple man, a wise man, a fool, and a scorner. And now you'll find wicked men, and you'll find righteous men, and so on. But those four seem to kind of keep cropping up. And you're introduced to one here, and we'll run into some of these other fellows later. But in verse 7, he that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame. The scorner's mentioned again in verse 8. Reprove, not a scorner. Okay, now, folks, we live in a day now where scorners are rampant. And that's one of the reasons why we have a very difficult time making any genuine inroads into communities and housing developments and stuff with our gospel. is because what they are fundamentally is scorners. They've been turned into scorners, not only by the wickedness of their own heart, but by the god of this world. The god of this world uses the media. The god of this world uses the TV and the boob tube and, you know, magazines and newspapers and opinionated media people and college professors. Okay? And so you now have a nation basically of scorners. See if you recognize any of these fellows. Look in Proverbs 13. Proverbs 13. It's amazing, you know, when you start kind of categorizing these fellows, they do seem to fall together. Notice one of the marks of a scorner. Verse chapter 13, verse 1. A wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. A scorner won't even listen to his dad. A scorner won't listen to his heavenly father. All right? I mean, you have God that will, you have people that will argue with God any day about homosexuality, about evolution. People will argue with God if they had an opportunity, apparently, about anything. Look, he made you. You really think that he doesn't know what he's talking about? You ever think how absolutely outrageously insubordinate that is, that people think they're going to go to the white throne judgment and argue with God? He's the one that gave you the strength to waggle your tongue. You're not going to argue with God. You're going to lay down on your face and beg for the street to open up so you can drop off in hell and get out of his presence. Serious. All right, now a scorner won't even hear his father's instruction. Look in chapter 15. Chapter 15, verse 12. Any of you can run these references. But again, to point out that to point out the specifics of it. Verse 15. A scorner loveth not one that reproveth him, neither will he go unto the wise. One of the marks of a scorner is he's not interested in, first of all, he's not interested in reproof. If anything is negative to him, reproving to him, that something that gets under his skin, he doesn't like it. That's the attitude of a scorner. Now, here's the problem. We've talked about this before. The problem is that there is no instruction in the Bible that is not accompanied with some level of reproof. So when you refuse reproof, you refuse instruction. I mean, we've talked before, you know, got some retired teachers here. Imagine teaching arithmetic, but you can't use your red pen. You can't mark an X and say, oh, no, that's wrong. That's ridiculous, right? Mrs. Suggs in English when I was in junior high, she had four red pens. She used all four. One on each hand and one on each foot. I mean, wrong. She wanted it right, too, buddy. I'm telling you. Say, what's the point? Well, you know, she was a good teacher. Okay? And she'd let you have it right in front of the class. You're up there diagramming your sentences. I mean, she'd cut your legs right out from under you. What? Yes, ma'am. There you go. Lavender smiley faces. I know. Well, anyway, well, what were we saying? We're training scorners now. That's what we're doing. But notice that passage in verse 12 of chapter 15. A scorner loveth not one that reproveth him, but notice also neither will he go unto the wise. That's a mark of a scorner. You know somebody that won't go to somebody that has an answer because he basically knows what he'll get and he's not interested in getting it? Okay, folks. That's a scorner. That's not just a fool. That's a scorner. You're not supposed to sit in the seat of a scornful. Right? Look in Proverbs chapter 19, verse 25. I want to drag this out all night or we won't get to Jeremiah next week. 19:25. And this is, now, you know what? Okay. I just want you to know that since I've been saved, I have never hit anybody. I'm not talking about spanking my child, okay? I'm talking about I have never punched anybody. I have not. Okay? So when I read this, you know where I'm coming from. 19:25, smite a scorner and the simple will beware. You can't reprove a scorner. Well, you can, but he won't take it. You know what a scorner is good for? punching bag. As a matter of fact, well, you know, look here. I'm not saying that I want to punch him. Well, I do want to punch him. But I'm not saying that I'm going to punch him. And I'm not saying that you should. Because it'll be against the law and you'll wind up in jail. Okay? But I am saying that if you're not careful, apply this to you, not somebody you know. If you're a scorner, you're going to get it in the neck. And if some guy doesn't punch you, then the Lord's going to hit you with a 2x4. And look at what it says, Proverbs chapter 19, verse 25. Smite a scorner and the simple will beware. Sometimes a scorner gets far enough down the road that all he's good for is serving as an example to somebody that's simple. Sometimes things happen to people so that simple people can look on and go, "Ooh, I don't want to do that." And the teaching the scorner is not even a part of it, because the Lord knows he's unteachable. So the Lord will whack him as an example to somebody that's teachable. Verse 25, smite a scorner and the simple will beware. Reprove one that hath understanding, he will understand knowledge. Look down in verse 29 to reiterate this. Judgments are prepared for scorners and stripes for the back of fools. So a fool's going to get a whooping. Lord willing, a fool will turn and get right. But you've already basically seen it. You know, the scorner, you know, he's a harder case. He's further down the road, and judgments are prepared for him. Isn't this wild? All right, look at a couple more. I'm not going to keep going forever here, but 21:11. Proverbs 21:11. Proverbs 21:11. Now, you know what the problem is? You know, sometimes you look on the outside, you go, "Oh, that guy's a scorner." You see a big old tattooed Harley biker pot-bellied hippie, and you know, you say, "Well, well, he may not be though." That's a problem. You can't tell from outside. The Lord knows. So the primary lesson with this, folks, is what you are, not what somebody else is. You know, you don't want to be a scorner. You don't want to be a fool. Proverbs 21, verse 11. When the scorner is punished, the simple is made wise. I mean, it doesn't even bring up, you know, well, when the scorner is punished, hopefully he'll get right. When the scorner is punished, the simple is made wise. And when the wise is instructed, he receiveth knowledge. I mean, and you get down the road as a scorner, folks, you know, you're pretty far down the road. And you find yourself, I've had bad experience watching, you know, it's a blessing, but it's a curse as well. You know, Marcia and I have been here going on 21 years next month. And in that 21 years, there are some folks that have been here and then gone away. And by going away, I'm not talking about going to another church where they're getting fed and all. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about somebody that drops off, that drops out for the Lord. Brother, those scenarios are all disastrous. I mean, they're horrific. They really, really are. I can't name any success stories. Can't find anybody that seems like now they're better off for having left that church and been gone for these years. It didn't work that way. I'm not saying this is the only place. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, you know, somebody storms off, is irreprovable, unrebukable, and won't deal with what the Lord asks them to deal with. It's not a pretty scene. It's not a pretty scene at all. So you read 21:11, the scorner is punished, the simple is made wise. He's punished, and when the wise is instructed, he receiveth knowledge, but the scorner doesn't receive instruction. Look at chapter 22, verse 10. 22:10. Cast out the scorner, contention shall go out. It's pretty hard, you know. Doesn't say, you know, reprove him and hope that he gets better. I mean, cast him out. I mean, so you start playing that game, you know, you go far enough down the road where you're scorning everything that folks stand for, what the Lord stands for, and, you know, all of a sudden you fall into the world side on punishing children, you know, and, you know, morality. I know a lot of Christians that fell out of church that now feel that some of the moral places that they stood before aren't all that important anymore. Adultery is just not that big a deal, you know. You're pretty far down the road, folks, when you get there. You don't want to go there. You do not want to go where Hillary and Bill and Obama want to lead you. You don't want to go there. You do not want to go where those stinking, stupid Hollywood magazine shows want to lead you. Because you're going to wind up so hard that all God can do is nail you to the ground and hope somebody learns from your example. Proverbs, just one or two more, all right? Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24, 9. Proverbs 24, 9. The thought of foolishness is sin. That's a very useful half a verse. Amen. It goes on, though, and the scorner is an abomination to men. Now, maybe he's not an abomination to his own kind. I don't know. I know there's a whole bunch of people that would have loved, boy, you know, they may love Michael Jackson's music, but nobody wants him in their house. Well, there's a reason why. Why? He's an abomination to men, right? Politically, there are a bunch of people that love Bill Clinton. He knocks on my door, he ain't getting in. He's an abomination to men. You understand what I mean? All right, back to Proverbs chapter 9. Proverbs 9, verse 8. Proverbs 9, 8. Reprove not a scorner. Now, you know, there's some places in the Scripture, you know, reprove and then reprove not. It's a matter of judgment who you reprove. And you can't always tell a scorner. So go ahead and reprove him. But, you know, you start piecing together enough pieces of the puzzle to figure out what he is, then you need to at least recognize what he is. Verse 7. He that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame. In other words, all he's going to get back is, you know, scorn and mockery back in the teeth in that way. And he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Now, at the same time, you do understand that there's all kinds of admonitions in the Scriptures to reprove and rebuke and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine, both wise and foolish and wicked and righteous. Right? So, you know, you have to take this in measure with a grain of salt, but he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. I only take that to mean, you know, that you've talked to enough folks, perhaps in your family, perhaps old friends or whatever in the world, that, you know, when you spoke to them about something spiritual, about their soul, you're on the blacklist now because you spoke to them about a verboten subject. Okay, you got yourself a blot. Now, you know, I should show you this. Look in Proverbs 24, 25, because you have to continue this. It's giving you, in the wicked case, some latitude, and you should use latitude at times, some wisdom, in whether to rebuke or to not rebuke. Proverbs 24, 25, verse 24. He that saith unto the wicked, thou art righteous, him shall the people curse, nations shall abhor him. But to them that rebuke him shall be delight, and a good blessing shall come upon them. So you are supposed to rebuke the wicked, right? I mean, there are just some times that you don't know for sure. You have to pray about which way to go. For instance, 26:4 while we're nearby. 26:4. Here's a classic contradiction in the King James Bible. It's not a contradiction at all. 26:4. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him. That sound like a command? Okay, verse 5, answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. Now, you got a choice to make when you run up on a fool in his folly. You have to make up your mind whether you answer him not or whether you answer him. It takes some prayer and some wisdom, and pray the Lord blesses whichever one you do. Right? All right, back to Proverbs chapter 9. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 8, reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. A scorner is more likely just to hate you. Now, folks, don't use this as an excuse to not witness. Because you don't know who's really a scorner or not. I mean, I don't know how many, you know, here is Spurgeon, right? You have to, I mean, he's 55, 58 years old now, and he's formidable as it is. Can you imagine him at 40? I mean, put him at 35 years old on the back of a Harley, you know, in his muscle shirt, and tell me that that wouldn't be one formidable man. All right? Well, somebody witnessed to him, and he got saved. So you got to be careful about categorizing people and using this as an excuse not to witness. You can't do that. But you can keep from becoming a scorner. And you can read the earmarks if you start bearing some of those traits, right? All right. Verse 8, reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Rebuke a wise man. Now, folks, you know, nobody really likes getting it in the teeth, I suppose. But one thing about it is if you're wise, you will take a rebuke, a righteous rebuke, and do something with it, right? Look in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 10. Proverbs 17, 10. Proverbs 17, 10. You see what they're doing when they keep talking about this stuff about negativity, negativity, you got to be positive, you got to be positive. You see what they're doing? They're robbing you. 17:10, a reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. Isn't that something? You don't have to get a whooping. If you really want the truth, you'll take a reproof. And what about this verse? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for reproof. Reproof. Bible's written for doctrine one and for reproof two, and though neither of those two things are on any radio preacher's list of priorities for why the Scripture was written. All right, Proverbs chapter 9, verse 8. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. Now notice, instruction to the wise, teach a just man, he will increase in learning. Would you notice that you cannot separate justice from wisdom? And you can't separate morality from teaching or learning. If any of you go, when you go off, when and if you go off to college, I'm talking about college, you're going to be basically taught an immoral system. And they're going to try to convince you that there is no morality involved with wisdom and learning. And that's a ridiculous precept. You cannot separate justice, morality, right and wrong, first of all, from wisdom. And you can't separate morality and justice from teaching and learning. Okay? One of the classic places that this has blown up on everybody, ooh, that light's out, is music. They say that if you take the dirty words or the dirty ideas out of music, the songs, the music itself is neutral. That's not true. It's not true at all. Otherwise, all these places, I'd bring this for you. We've been borrowing the Caribou's Daniel Boone old TV show. We I don't know. Daniel Boone was a man. It's just a good show. And, all the bad guys get right in the end. I mean, everything turns out great. I mean, it does. Interesting thing happened. I think that after the fifth or sixth season, you went from Daniel Boone was a man, was a big man. And the next year, they bugaboo jazzed the thing up. So now, Daniel Boone was a man. You know, it's the weirdest thing. The first time the thing came on, we just looked at each other across the room. They changed the music and turned the whole thing around. It's wild. It's really wild. Anyway, Brother Caribou thinks he is Daniel Boone. So we just... Oh, no. All right, any questions or comments? Bryce? All right.
When we're talking about leaders, we're talking about people, I think we're talking about people in this world. And they're doing it every day. I don't see anybody have worried about them. I don't see anybody have worried about them, or especially the mom and nature. Nobody, maybe I do, but nobody else.
Yeah. Well, I think, first of all, I mean, I think that, you know, it's all going to turn out at the judgment anyway. But number two, I think it's prophetic. I mean, he that saith unto the wicked, the Antichrist. Now, prophetically, thou art righteous, him shall the people curse. Eventually, that's what's going to happen. All right, anything else? Chris, real quick. Mm-hmm. Very much so. All right. We're going to have these folks that gave their testimonies tonight and going to join the church. Come on up so we can shake your hand and the ladies can hug their necks and everything. We don't vote here. You know, but these folks satisfy, you know, us that they have the best interests of the church at heart. And so we don't go through the whole voting process. It's kind of like at a wedding, you know. Is there anybody here that has an objection to these two people being joined, you know, and what happens if somebody says, I do? So we don't give you a chance, you understand? So, Ms. Perlinger and Mr. and Mrs. Davis and Rebecca, come on up, you too. And we are really glad to have these folks come and appreciate them all stepping forward and having some courage to let folks know what's going on. Have a word of prayer, and you guys come shake their hands. Father, now we appreciate these folks coming. We are glad for what we've seen happen in their lives, Lord, and all the things that are going on here right now. We pray that you'll bless this move that they've made, this statement, this decision. May it make a difference in their lives, Lord. May we ever be a blessing to them. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay, you're dismissed.